About 3 years ago, Cornell University Eline Maple Research Forest Director Michael Farrell was approached by an editor who asked him to write a book giving a modern-day spin on maple production. His book starts by explaining why everyone should get into sugaring, but then moves to the brass tacks of practical production.
We see a lot of people getting into maple sugaring right now. It's one of the fastest-growing agricultural industries in the U.S. You know, the book is applicable to hobbyists, but my target audience in mind was somebody who wanted to do it as a business, to take their sugaring operation to the next level.
You look at the historical use of maple sugar and maple syrup. You go back to that as you take a look at maple production now, and you relate to the fact that now we are actually producing less maple syrup. But you also put that in context as to why.
In the middle of the 1800s, most of it was converted even further down into maple sugar. And maple sugar was the staple sweetener here in the Northeast. That's what farm families could produce themselves. We weren't importing much cane sugar at the time. We hadn't invented high fructose corn syrup yet. The options for sweeteners were limited. And so people produced maple almost out of necessity and out of choice as well, because remember, in the mid-1800s, the North didn't like the South too much, and so they didn't want to import what they called slave sugar out of the South that was produced on the plantation. So you had several factors leading up to why we produced so much more maple sugar back in the 1800s, when it was much more difficult to produce than it is today. Technology has made it significantly easier. It's not easy by any stretch, but when I think about how hard it is to make it today compared to what it would have been back in the 1800s, it's like night and day. The U.S. is more forested than it was back then. A lot of the trees we have today are maples. Sugar and red maple are two of the most common tree species. There's 2 billion potentially tapable trees here in the eastern U.S. And I think we should be producing and consuming more maple sugar just like we did back in the 1800s.
A lot of the book talks about the technology that is involved and what type of technology, as a producer, you choose to use, whether it's reverse osmosis, whether you want to use tubing or buckets or bags. Isn't most of that information readily available, or is this something that really needed to be coalesced into a single resource like your book?
Certainly, I'm not the first one to ever write about reverse osmosis or tubing. I mean, there's certainly a lot of information about there. I presented what I thought would be the best use of this technology and how to use it most efficiently and effectively. You know, I'm a big believer in technology in the maple industry. It makes things a lot easier and more environmentally friendly. The more technology you use in processing the sap and the syrup really reduces the amount of energy that goes into producing that syrup. And you can have large-scale sugaring operations that are very environmentally friendly, really low carbon footprint, through the use of appropriate technology.
Along the lines of the carbon footprint that you just mentioned too, you also talk a lot about conservation and protection of the sugar bush and other uses of the trees and making sure that you take care of the resource. That's another critical aspect of this too.
Definitely. I mean, we're very fortunate to have the sugar bushes that we do have. And, you know, we have an obligation to take care of them to the greatest extent possible. And maple producers are great stewards of the land. They keep their forests intact as forests to continue to produce maple syrup year after year. So utilizing the maple trees for syrup production and providing an economic incentive to keep those trees standing as part of an intact forest system is a great conservation tool. And it's, I think, the best tool we have to maintain vigorous and healthy forests here in the Northeast.
Mike, with so much talk about climate change and worries about how the forests in the Northeast will change, you didn't seem to be quite as concerned about the effects of climate change on the sugar bush.
It's certainly already presenting many challenges throughout the world. But I think the effect on the maple industry has been overblown and hyped up. Yes, it's had some effect. The season is moving earlier, as springtime is moving earlier here in the Northeast. So is the tapping season. So We just have to be able to adjust our tapping regimens and start tapping earlier. If you're going to stick to the traditional tapping dates, you're probably going to miss out on a lot of those early sap flows. So it's just a matter of adjusting our practices, not just when you tap, but also the technology. And typically what maple producers rely on is that alternating freeze-thaw to create the pressure differential to cause that sap to flow. Well, with vacuum tubing now, we can create sap flow in the trees with the vacuum tubing without necessarily relying on those freezing nights. So by using that technology appropriately, we can overcome the vagaries of the weather and, you know, increasingly warming world. So there are adaptation strategies. People are getting great yields now, despite not ideal weather. So I'm not nearly as pessimistic, especially in the short to medium term. In the long run, in 100 years, nobody knows what's going to happen. Along the southern and western edge of the range of maple, there's actually maples expanding into those areas, which contradicts a lot of previous predictions that maples are going to move north and get replaced by oaks and hickories. What we're seeing, and what I did part of my research at Cornell on, is maples are overtaking these oak and hickory forests. So the foresters there are worried that they're not getting the oak and hickory saplings coming up. And some of them down there consider maple an invasive species. You know, they want oaks and hickories. That's what they consider their native forest. And in fact, they're worried that maples are overtaking. So that's one of the reasons I'm very optimistic about the future of the maple industry here, is because the trees are doing well, and even with bad weather, we could still use technology to get economically viable yields of sap from the trees.
Tomorrow on Midday Magazine, part two of our conversation with Mike Farrell. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.